This episode of Fermented Adventure, the podcast, features Tony Gonzalez of Ghost Ice System. His inventions, his creativity is raising the bar on ice and cocktails and bartending. Be sure to reach out to Tony and Ghost Ice System and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. He's Tony Gonzalez. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we talked right before the podcast started. It's like 89 degrees. It's hot. It's humid here just outside of Philadelphia. And I am thrilled to be talking Ghost Ice Systems on this hot day. And what I want to share with our listeners and the world who's not familiar, what is Ghost Ice Systems?
So Ghost Ice is ice made from a system that we've called the Ghost Ice System. And it's essentially a way to make crystal clear ice cubes from tap water. It's good for bars, for restaurants. And now we started doing it like for smaller bars and restaurants or even like home use. So essentially, just if you like clear ice and you like having whiskey or any cocktails over like a good craft ice, I truly believe that the Ghost Ice System is like the way to go, because the quantity that we're able to pump out in the large system, we call it the commercial system. It pumps out 48 crystal clear cubes using the process of directional freezing. And then the smaller version, which I have a little one here. This one makes 12.
That looks like a little tote that you would take to the beach. Yeah. But when you hold it on the other side, you can see it has those 12 compartments that you would put ice in.
That's
or
correct.
Water in and make ice.
Exactly. So they're very, very deep. The compact, that's what we call this system, makes 12 2 inch by 2 inch by 2.25 inch tall. So the height really just depends on how much you fill it with water. For the big system, I have it here, but it's like this big.
So people can go on your website and check out these different systems, right?
Yes, 100%.
How did the idea for Ghost Ice Systems, how did the idea for all of this come about for you?
It was in 2013, 2014, and I was set to do a competition here in downtown Los Angeles called the May Mix-Off. And I believe it was supported by William Grant & Sons. And I think Hendrix was like their big flagship that they were pushing at the time. And they wanted like the most creative kind of cocktail that you can think of. Like there was literally, it wasn't about speed. It wasn't about anything like that. It was literally the most creative cocktail. So I brought in everything that I know how to do. Everything from molecular mixology, which I did a lot of aromatic bubbles, which you wouldn't, it's hard to, I think nowadays it's become more popular seeing stuff like this, but back in 2013, 14, no one had ever seen anything like it. I had an infusion tank made out of a mason jar. I had a fish pump pumping into it that had tea, like a basil and rosemary boiling in there. And then out of it came another tube that went into an egg white, water and, xanthan, I think it was xanthan gum, bath. And it basically created bubbles that were filled with the aroma of the basil and the rosemary. So then you're able to scoop it out and put it on top of the cocktail. But I really needed something special because the cocktail itself was a breakdown. I wanted it to change as you drank it. So initially, when you first brought it to your mouth, the bubbles popped, you smelled the aromas of the basil and the rosemary, but then you tasted the drink and it was a, I believe it was a sun-aged Lillet Blanc. It was a roasted maraschino, like Luxardo maraschino cherries, caramelized. And then there was obviously the gin. That was the main ingredient for it. So all of that together, there was a few other, I think I did a honey syrup mixed with it. And so basically I wanted it to taste that forward on the initial palate. But the cool thing is I wanted an ice cube that could alter the taste of the drink after a few sips. And so essentially what I needed to control the ice. And so I needed not just a clear block of ice, but I needed an infused block of ice. And so I started on the process to learn how to not only infuse ice, but to make clear ice. And it honestly, you get everything from, oh, you have to boil it three times and let it cool off completely, honestly, there was like so many different things that I was trying. And then I ran across, he's a good friend of mine now, but his name is Camper English. I ran across some of his research on using the power of directional freezing, and it was pretty buried on the internet. It was really hard to, it wasn't like the first thing that popped up. And so when I found it, I started researching it and I liked the concept. I liked where it was going. And I initially, you know, I'm a creator by nature. So I was like, how can I make this easier for me and better? Because the idea was take a cooler, fill it up with water, and then carve the ice, right? After you take it out. And I was like, well, that's cool, but I don't want to carve the ice. I want to have it ready and pretty and slick. Like if I'm going to compete with an ice company, like look, it needs to look beautiful and like perfect. And so I came up with the idea of having silicone molds floating above the top of the cooler that had lips that hang off that allow it to not fall in. And using that method, I was able to put citrus and cucumber like strips into the each cavity of the clear of the tray. And then when I froze it, it basically infused each ice cube with the cucumber lemon taste. And so whenever I took it out and put it into the cocktail initially and then poured the drinks over, as it melted into the drink, you got the lemon cucumber taste, which wasn't a part of the original taste. So it was kind of like like the qualifying rounds, I won the first, it was a 3-day competition, but I won the first day right away. And so it was just fun. It was crazy, but I also learned how to make clear ice. And I remember talking to my wife about it, saying, I want to perfect this. I want to make it easier for my bar, for us to have this ice. And then after I showed her a few of the ways, she looked at me and said, if you're this crazy about this, I'm sure there's other people that are like this. I bet you can sell something like this. And I'm like, well, it's not really sellable because it's so like jimmy-rigged the way I had it. And she goes, well, you're really good at making things practical, but like, let's make it beautiful. And so little by little, it started the growth of what we now call Ghost Ice. It was actually my wife's idea to call it Ghost Ice. I think I had like nice ice or something like that. And she's like, no, it's like when it's in the drink and it's like, you can only see the outline of it. Right. So it looks like a phantom, like floating in your liquor. And I'm like, that is great. So, we initially launched with a homemade, wooden built like this cooler. And I don't even think there's pictures online of it. But I sold quite a few of those that first year. I think it was 2015, 2016 when I finally like started hand making these things. I learned how to vacuum form like the pieces I needed of the hard plastic and the silicone and all this stuff. And it worked, but it's kind of like working with an antique at a bar. And so after about 6 months to 8 months, bartender would drop it, barback would knock it over, it would fall, and it's wood, so it would shatter, it'd break everywhere, and there goes the system. So I took a break from that, and I started trying to figure out a way to make it more indestructible, more bar ready. And I, after many, many trials, I ended with the big version, which we ended up partnering with Coleman Coolers because they had a cooler that I really liked. It was their old part. They don't sell them anymore, but it was their party stackers. And I had two trays made specifically that fit perfectly in there. And so it did the job for me the way I wanted it. And I was so excited about it. And it was during COVID. We were right before COVID, we were set to do our first trade show. We had our first batch of trays. We were only selling trays and we were recommending the cooler. But we had our first batch and we were going to go to the this trade show in Las Vegas, the bar and restaurant show. And we were going to like be like debut. And then COVID happened. Right. And so I was sitting on stock here and I had brought business partners in at this point because I realized I needed a little bit more help. And boom, there you go. Like COVID took out everything that we could have done. And I'm like, man, I remember I was sitting in Lake Tahoe with my wife and family. We had taken a little trip during like, while everything was going crazy here in LA. And I remember we were sitting and it was like an unexpected blizzard happened like up there. It was snowing like crazy. And it was in May. And I remember looking at my wife saying, I feel like we're wasting time with Ghost Ice. We need to launch this. And I remember I called my business partners and I'm like, we're launching today at 6 p.m. tonight. So I set up the first video, made sure the website was ready. And we made our first sale within 30 minutes of launching. And then it never went back. And we've been growing since then. We have our own cooler now that because we discontinued our partnership with Coleman and we have our own cooler that we just debuted this month. And then last year, everyone wanted a smaller version. So we created this one. That was 2 years ago, actually. So now we're trying to hit like the bars that need it for like volume and like the smaller, slower bars or even the home. And so, yeah, my house is full of ice all the time because of all the testing. So I know that was a lot of explanation.
There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack. And, yep. You know, as you're telling your story, I'm thinking about that whole Shark Tank moment, you know, and the struggle with creating a product and then you get influenced by COVID and you've got bartenders and barbacks destroying the initial inception of the product. What was it for you where obviously you did the contest and you saw something there, but what was it for you to realize that this is a product and you were onto it? What was some of that feedback that you were getting?
So before Clear Ice was really popular, like now I would say it's kind of like a necessity, right? But back then, 2015, it wasn't a necessity. The only of the bars that had Clear Ice were like the higher end bars or bars that could afford it. Or if they had a special deal with like an owner or something that had a Clear Ice supply company and your only option was to buy it. To buy Clear Ice, or if you knew how to carve it, which takes work and skill and time and numb fingers, if you knew how to do that, then you could do that. So I simplifying something that the masses need, I say that's kind of where I realized that, oh, there might be something here. I knew nothing about business. I just knew how to create things. I knew how to create. I was a mixologist by trade. So like I knew how to create things. And, you know, if in the bar world, like if something's broken in the bar, you figure out how to fix it, right? We have toolbox behind the bar. And so I knew by nature how to like build things, how things connected, electronics. And so I could figure things out. But once I realized that there are bars that wanted good ice, because you could tell the bars that wanted good ice, they were already using silicone trays to make big blocks of ice. That was the first step that they, to me, they're the easiest persons to introduce this to because they already want it. They understand that they need a big block of ice for like certain drinks. And so they're, unfortunately, those blocks of ice are completely cloudy just because the nature of silicone trays on how you freeze. And so those bars and restaurants that had cloudy ice, they were my first customers. If I went to a bar and I ordered an old fashioned or a Negroni and I saw a cloudy block of ice in there, I was like, you're making this ice yourself, right? Yeah, like, yep. All of our bartenders, we make our own ice. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, here's my card. Just check out my website. Check out my Instagram. I designed this for you because it's on literally one extra step now. Now it's just fill it up in this container and put it in a freezer. And you get the same thing. It just takes a little bit longer because the way ice makes. But once I started seeing people like, oh, clear ice is cool. Clear ice is awesome. Like, it's beautiful. Oh, I was like, okay, this is the beginning of a trend, like good trend. Because it, I would say it hit the trend in New York City in the late 90s. But then it came to the US, it came to the West Side, and it just kind of hit only fancy bars. But once I was like, clear ice for all, that was like my original slogan. I want clear ice available for anybody and anybody, like good cocktail, because it does matter. You know, the ice does matter. But I knew it was a home run from the beginning because I was like, I know I need this and I'm in the bar world and I don't want to pay for ice. Right. And so one thing that COVID did, I will tell you this, and I'm very thankful, and is that COVID made everyone go home, right? And bars were closed. So what is, like, if you talk to anybody that like lived throughout COVID and you ask them, what are some things you learned? A lot of people learned how to make cocktails at home.
I can say I'm raising my hand. I'm one of them. And to your point, you know, then you start to look at, all right, what are your tools? What can you do better? Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I'm done with this, you know, ice cube tray where I have to flex it and these little cubes. And I have this pet peeve about little cubes in my old fashioned or, you know, something in my rocks glass. So I'm like, all right, where do I find these larger cubes or balls or things that you're making? And now you've got me on saying, all right, now I want clear ice for my guests. And I want this level of quality that I can serve and enjoy on my own.
That's 100% that. And that mindset is what a lot of people were at, because we're talking like business guys, lawyers, all this stuff. They were at home now and they liked a good drink when they went out and they couldn't do that anymore. So they learned how to, it was like a skill they learned. They learned how to make good cocktails. I remember being very surprised when the doors lifted again and the bar seats opened again and people would come. And I remember regulars I had and they'd be like, oh, this is how I make this cocktail. And I was like, whoa, I guess everyone's an expert now. But like, but the cool thing was they had learned how to make clear ice, like, and carve it. So when they saw the smaller ghost ice system, they're like, oh, that's easy. Like, oh, I don't even have to carve it. Like, I just put it in the freezer. Okay, cool. But then when bars reopened, these same people that had quality now for their home, they go to the bars and the bars had stopped buying, that were using clear ice before, stopped buying ice because of the cost it would take, like, to operate the business now, because everyone was basically coming back to life and they cut the things that they felt were aesthetic. They're like, oh, we don't need clear ice anymore. It costs $1 to $3 an ice cube. No, we're not doing that. Like, bar managers left and right. Nope, cut that program. And so when like patrons would come to the bar and they make better drinks at home and they have better ice at home now, they were giving our information to all the bars that they were going. So we had inadvertently created a mass marketing system from normal patrons and everybody, like a normal, you know, guys and girls out there that have normal job, not bartenders, telling bars about us. And then Ghost Ice commercial systems exploded, went crazy, like in late 2020, early 2021, 2022, all of a sudden bars and restaurants and big chain companies are reaching out to us saying, hey, we need this. We need this. So I attribute most of that stuff to everyone going home and having to learn how to make clear ice.
You talked about that cocktail that you created for that contest. And first of all, the way you described it, I'm jealous because I want that cocktail. Whoever got to try that, I want that now. That's like, you put so much thought and so many layers into the experience. It's a sensory of a cocktail. And to your point, look, I see that ice cube with the lemon and with the cucumber, and every sip I take after I've had that bubble explode and the essence and the effervescence of these other herbs. And now I'm enjoying the gin and these levels of flavor. Where did all this, you know, where does this come from for you? You have a passion for mixology.
Yes. So boredom. It comes out of boredom. I believe that most great ideas and most great skill sets come because you're bored with something and you want something newer. And when I moved to Los Angeles back in 2010, in downtown LA at the time, it's a little bit different now just because help was kind of hard to find now since post-COVID. But at the time, LA was pretty picky with their bartenders when they were hiring bartenders. And if they didn't know you, where you came from, who trained you in LA, you weren't getting a job. That was essentially how it was. And some like higher, like better quality places would be, you have to start, like you have to bar back for 5 years before you're ever allowed to bartend. Right. So, and I was like, man, and I was already a bartender from, I just come from Missouri. I'm from Texas originally, but my wife's from Missouri and we lived there for like 7 years. And I was already a bartender in Missouri, and coming to LA and they're telling me I don't have enough experience. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so I learned that's what the code is. You don't have enough experience, meaning I don't know who you worked for, so I'm not going to hire you. And that was, you know, just extremely disheartening, especially I'm like, this is all I know how to do. Like, and I was just a normal bartender. I would say like, I was making, you know, whatever, Jack and Cokes, you know, the old fashions, kind of the old school way, you know, I knew how to make drinks. I just didn't, I would say the next level is what you're seeing, like intense mixology. That kind of came because the job I got was at a really fancy schnazzy hotel in downtown LA called the Biltmore Hotel. It's built by the Vanderbilt. So it's extremely ornate, gorgeous in there. And they have like a seniority thing. There's like the main bar, which is awesome. Great money there. Like if you're bartending there, but if you're lower seniority, you get to work in the coffee bar, which is exiled away from everything in the old lobby that no one even goes to unless they're just taking pictures. So there was like a little coffee bar there that had liquor that was hidden. So I was there for 8 hours every day, just sitting there, and they gave you a chair.
Nice, they gave you a chair.
Yeah. So they give you a chair, and I remember making espressos all day long because they had an espresso machine. So I learned how to make like lattes, and I was practicing latte art. And, you know, I was sitting there and my mind was going numb, getting really bored. And so I just started getting books, reading books while I was there, sitting in my chair, just reading about like molecular gastronomy. Like I was learning about food, because I remember one of our chefs, he had just graduated from culinary school, and he had a book on his desk. And I'm like, hey, mind if I read that? And so I remember reading it, and I was learning about the gastronomy, like molecular gastronomy stuff. And at the time it wasn't really in the bar world. And I started reading and I'm like, oh man, I could bring this into the bar world. I could do this here. I could do that. And so I started practicing. I bought some additives like calcium lactate, xanthan gum, sodium alginate, all these different additives that are mostly algae derived. And so they're not dangerous chemicals, right? They're additives that were based from food already. And I remember I just started practicing. I learned how to make the bubbles where it had like a membrane and the inside was liquid. So I would make cocktails like that. And I learned how to do like aerations and all these crazy things. And I'm like, how can I bring this together in a cocktail? Right. And so I started getting I started nerding out like hardcore on like all the different pH levels of all the different spirits and the liqueurs and like, oh, that's not going to work with sodium alginate because it's too high of a pH level. You need to bring it down. So there's other things you can add. So anyways, it got weird. It got really weird. And so I was bored. So I learned how to do those things. And then once I got into the main bar, I was able to kind of execute all of my ideas how I saw fit while I sat for a long time learning and reading. And I learned how to do proper cocktail creation. While I was sitting there, I was going through like all the different cocktail books that were needing, like that were like good in modern cocktails. So like Bar Smarts, I was going through their courses there. I was going through basically anything you can think of that looked interesting to me. I learned about absinthe and like all the absinthe service styles and depending on what country you're in and like history. I started reading the history of every single, not only brand, but liquor, where it came from, why it existed, like back even in Egypt, like all of these things. I started learning the history of cocktails and why we had a renaissance of cocktails and what happened during the Prohibition. And so all of that kind of just fed into my mind, and it became a passion of mine. And I wanted to become not only like the historian for cocktail, but I wanted, while I was making a drink for my customer, I wanted to be able to like explain what I was doing and why. Like, why is it? Why am I stirring it instead of shaking it? Why am I doing this instead of this? Oh, let me tell you a story. Right. And so while I'm making the drink, and I got to the point where I can like finish the story as I landed the drink in front of them. And then like I would always get like applauses like from like the whole bar top after doing something like that. So it definitely fed something inside of me.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast. Tony, what I'm hearing you say is that experience that you had based on, you know, I'm thinking like you're a star quarterback coming out of college, you're drafted number one, mm-hmm. and they tell you, hey, kid, you're going to be on the bench for a couple of years. Yeah. Even though you've lived through this experience where when you came from Missouri and you were making cocktails, you were probably the go-to guy behind the bar. And they said, sit on the bench behind the coffee machine and hone your skills, maybe watch what's going on. That experience for you was exactly what you needed, mm-hmm. because had you not had that experience and they threw you behind the bar, who knows if Ghost Ice ever would have come to fruition. That whole adventure, yeah. that whole journey you've been on every step of the way, even COVID was supposed to happen. And no one wants to say, well, COVID was supposed to happen, but that pause to stop and say, this is our business. We need to go now. That experience told you, we need to go now, because I see on the horizon where this is going to be so valuable and catapult our Ghost Ice systems to that next level. And I'm just amazed. I'm fascinated by your story, but more so, I think the story you tell is exactly why for Dawn and I and our Fermented Adventure, when we go to a craft cocktail bar and you give us that experience, it's exactly what we were hoping for.
Right.
Versus here's your cocktail. But you've elevated. This is what's going on in our world now. You are part of that elevation of the bartender. You are the rock star that everybody wants to go to see. And what comes out of that is this technology, this ice that people want because they don't want to be left behind, right?
Yeah.
What is the future for Ghost Ice systems? And, you know, you've done the more of the home system. You've got this larger system for bars. Where do you see this whole Ghost Ice world taking you? And I was thinking, you said it seems like every time you're bored, a new idea comes up. Does your wife look at you when you say I'm bored and she says, I'm excited? Or does she say, uh-oh?
It depends on the day, but because okay. I'll say I'm bored a lot, or yeah, I don't know. She's the reason that I think I stayed bartending, because every year I'm like, I got to get out. And she said, you said this last time. But same with Ghost Ice. So Ghost Ice, we started with the cubes, right? So we started with the 48 cubes and then we launched the 12 cubes. And we started with the cubes because they're the most versatile, right? So I know everyone loves spheres and everyone loves like the ice balls and stuff, but the cubes were the most versatile thing you could use for anything. And I was trying to hit all pistons, like these you can use for basically anything. Then last year or earlier this year, we launched the Collins stackers. So it's kind of our preliminary movement, which basically using the system itself, you can't get quite the height of a normal Collins yet, working on that. But we were able to get like a 3-inch tall Collins. So 1.3 by 1.3 up to 3-inch tall. And we call them Collins stackers because you can stack them on top of each other. And it essentially does the same effect of a Collins spear. But our next thing that I'm working on, and I am still in the rudimentary phase right now, like where it looks ugly, like the product looks ugly, but I'm working on spheres right now. And our last batch came out beautifully for the tests. And we're talking in the, we always do commercial system first, and then we scale down to the home system. And the reason why we do that is because I feel like bars are always forgotten. Bars and restaurants are always forgotten when it comes to new technology for the like mixology world. And so I always want to make sure that I cover my, like my own, because that was my world. All of my friends are still in the industry. So I want to make sure that the commercial system gets like, it's my test for everything. So like, I always go, spheres are coming to commercial first, and then they're going to come to the home use ones. It's just kind of, that's been my method from the beginning. But the spheres in the big cooler, in the big, big system, commercial system, you're going to get 24, 2.6-inch spheres, right? So that's quite a bit. Cause right now, in that commercial system, you can get 48 2-inch cubes, 48, which is a lot. I go for quantity and quality. For the spheres, 24 is massive. Like my dream came true the first time I ever opened the first Ghost Ice batch, and I pulled out the trays and I flipped them over, and big ice, clear blocks of ice just came out, like a whole bunch of them. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I was like laughing because it was amazing. Cause it was like a dream come true. And the same thing happened last week. I think right before Tails, I pulled out the tray and I flipped over, and all like 24 ice balls just came boom, 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 fell out. So spheres are definitely, that's first. And then diamonds are coming next. Because I wanted to start with diamonds originally, because I was known when I carved ice, I was known for diamond cutting, right? I developed the skill to carve diamonds. And so I would take a big block of ice, carve it down, and then get a beautiful diamond. Sometimes I'd hollow it out and make it into a shot glass diamond. So there's a lot of cool things. I was always about experience for the customer and for the guest. And the diamond was like, boom. And so there was a time when I trained all of our bartenders to carve diamonds, and it was a requirement for our household fashion. Right. So they absolutely hated it because we had to pre-carve them and put them back in the freezer, just because I wanted an experience. I wanted if you're going to charge $16 for an old fashioned, it better look like a $16 old fashioned. And so you got a beautiful diamond, and then the old fashioned and like a good garnish and beautiful drink all together. And as you're drinking it, you see the diamond glistening. Oh my gosh. Like you can't. Yeah. Anyway, so I want the diamond effect, and that's coming. That's coming also. Like once I know the spheres work 100%, I'm literally just have to change out a few things. And now I have diamonds.
I watch your face. I mean, people can't see it on the podcast, but your face lights up. Your eyes almost start to sparkle when you talk about this diamond, and I can really feel the experience as you describe that diamond coming in that old fashioned and the customer's reaction to that, seeing that hit the bar or be served by the waitress and watching that face light up just as yours did there. You talked about that you opened you turned out the spheres before you went to Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans. What was your Tales experience like? How was that for you, and how were you received by those that attended that you spoke with?
So we attended as attendees and not as vendors this time. That might change next time. We'll see. We'll see how things turn out. But I was just really excited because I knew Ghost Heist had grown. I mean, obviously, I'm seeing the shipments go out every week, and it's a lot of shipments. So I know we're touching the world, and it's international. So like we're shipping everywhere. We are in some of the most northern part of the world, right? So the most recent one we just shipped to that was like crazy was Svalbard, which is like north of Norway, like an island off of Norway, which is the most inhabited, the most northern inhabited place in the world, like close to the North Pole. And I'm like, what in the world? Like they are ice, like, but this is cool. So going to Tails was fun because I got to see a lot of friends that on Instagram that I've got to know over the years, you know, influencers and stuff for the cocktail world. I also got to see some of my brand friends that, you know, run different companies, you know, at like Milagro or, you know, Angel's Envy and stuff like that. And so I got to, you know, spend some good time with them. But I would say the biggest thing that surprised me was the brand recognition that I was getting when I would stand, because I would wear, you know, obviously my Ghost Ice shirt and the back would say like Ghost Ice, blah, blah, blah. And I would get people coming up to me and saying, are you with Ghost Ice or do you just have a shirt? And I'm like, oh, I'm actually the CEO of Ghost Ice. And they're like, oh my gosh. And then they would pull their friends and say, I just showed you guys this video of this guy's system. And I was like, oh, that's fun. So like seeing things like that, or I was basically attacked by this big dude, but like in a loving way. He came up and gave me a hug and I was like, what? He's like, I love everything you do. He's like, I've been following you since you were just a normal bartender. He goes, but man, congrats on the success. And another guy at the same time came up and was like, I have 12 of your big systems in my bar. I built my bar around your systems. Wow. And I was like, what in the world? Send me photos, please. Like, so stuff like that was cool. But it does follow under like the phrase, if you know, you know, right? Cause there's as many people as there are that like recognize the brand and know what we're about. And no, all I care about is getting quality into the bar world, right? Quality in for the best cost, right? So doing that, and when people recognize that, they appreciate that. And they love that because they know that it costs money to buy ice, like when you're buying it from ice suppliers. And, you know, nothing against their business model, but, you know, there's a need for all types of business models. But my whole thing was, if you don't have to, you don't need to buy it. Like, and if you don't want to carve ice, you don't have to. Like, we have the system. And essentially everybody I talk to that isn't in the industry that doesn't know about clear ice or example, I was at Costco the other day waiting. I was changing my tires, or getting new tires. And I was just sitting because you have to, you know, wait before they open. And there's an older gentleman sitting there and I had to go put something in my car. I'm like, hey, do you mind if you watch my computer? And it was just right next to him. And he's like, yeah, I got you. So I put my car, came back and he's like, what's Ghost Ice? And because I have a sticker on my laptop that says Ghost Ice on it. And I'm like, oh, it's a way to make clear ice from tap water. And he's like, wait, what? He's like, my wife and I have been trying to figure this out for 3 years. And I'm like, well, just buy the system. I'm like, it does the job. So that's generally if you don't know about clear ice or how to make it or care, it's kind of like, it solves the problem that a lot of people think that they have, right? And when I say that it's not a problem, it's just in their head, they're like, oh, it takes a lot of work to make clear ice. And I really don't have time to figure that out, right? Or they say, oh, I tried to boil it. It didn't work. Yeah, so I just let it go. So I'm just stuck with the mediocre crap ice that's out there. But once they realize how simple it is, like that's our hole here. Like that's our whole, like our whole
simple,
model.
Simple, clear, endless.
Simple, clear, endless. And we say endless because it just...
And I love the packaging. I mean, you've thought through everything. You really have.
Thank you. we kind of like to logo. We like our logo a lot because we wanted it on all sides. But Simple, Clear, Endless. That is like our main motto, is that you fill it up, you put it in the freezer, you're going to get crystal clear ice cubes, and you can keep doing the process over and over again, and you have endless ice. No.
The other problem it solves too is, how about that time behind the bar when the ice machine goes down? And now at least you have a system here that can continue to feed you ice. Just dump it out. You have these beautiful blocks, spheres on the way. Collins ice cubes coming soon. Diamonds are forever. Yeah. They'll be coming soon. This is exciting. It's fun. We met at Tails, and it was fun just to bump into you guys at Tails, because we didn't know this system existed. Mm-hmm. We see clear ice out there, knowing that, all right, now we have the ability to do this at home. We're just going to need a bigger freezer. That's all.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, that's essentially it.
Is there anything, Tony, we haven't talked about on the podcast today? Anything you want people to know about you or Ghost Ice Systems?
I mean, just keep your ears open about Ghost Ice, because there's a lot of fun stuff coming. I'm even like anticipating things of the future of like even better ways of doing it than we're doing it, right? And me as a person, you know, I'm a creator. I create, I invent. This is my first invention that I would say I created to making clear ice easier. So that's my first one. I have another company called The Ice Designer, and that one went viral last year. And you may have seen it. It's the brass metal plate that has this right here has like all the different textures on it. So that went viral. It is a separate company also. And, you know, I have a different team that runs that one. But, you know, I like creating things that make life easy for the bars. For the bars and the restaurants, and to bring aesthetics higher, right? Because I truly believe, if, like I said before about paying $16 for an old fashioned, it better look like a $16 old fashioned. If you're going to charge 20, if you're going to Vegas, and you're going to, the biggest thing I hate is whenever you go to Vegas and you buy like a shot and all the shots are $20, right? So like, and same with the drinks, all the drinks are $20-something. And it's like, I want it to taste and look, not only taste, because, you know, if you get good quality stuff in there and you get, you know, if it's made properly, fresh ingredients, it's going to have the taste. But if you look down and you see your cloudy block of ice with calcium starting to float into your drink, like floating, and you get little floaties floating and your ice is doing weird things, it kind of loses the appeal. If you stare at it for a long time, you'll lose your appetite. If you look at the ice melting, like bad ice melting in your drink, it just looks disgusting. Because you'll start seeing things floating off of the, it can look pretty gross. But I care about all things aesthetics, right? So it's like when you go to a fine dining restaurant, the food may be amazing, right? But if it's served on a paper napkin, you're like, okay, well, at least the food's good. But you want to hit all the senses, right? You want to hit, like, you can see it coming. That's why I think at like Mexican and Tex-Mex restaurants, when they have like fajitas, that whole concept of the sizzling fajitas walking through all the aisles to get to the person, that is a marketing stunt to sell more fajitas, like 100%, because it's passing through and you hear it. You can smell it. You can see the smoke, and you see it land in front of someone's face, and you see their eyes light up, and they're like, "Whoa, this is good." Guess what? You know how many fajitas are going to get ordered after that?
Endless, countless. And you're right. That's the show. It's like, you know, why do you go to the hibachi and watch the hibachi chef make all the moves and the sounds and, you know, get everybody participating, because the next table over says, "I want what they're having."
Right.
And look, to your, you mentioned so many things there, but $16 for a cocktail for an old fashioned, I think that's what you expect. I've seen over $30 for an old fashioned. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't have those components, if there's not a show behind it, if there's not somebody like Tony saying, this is the history of the old fashioned, this is why we picked this whiskey, this is why I stir. This is, if it doesn't have that experience, it's, you can put a price tag on it. It's not worth it. And right. I get it. Look, we have to pay insurance. We have to pay lights. We have to pay all these overhead experiences. And I know running a bar is not cheap, but you've got to take care of the customer. And if you start with something and you think in your head, all right, I've got this beautiful glassware. Why would I want to put a crappy, cloudy piece of ice in there? Get something like this Ghost Ice system if you don't have it. Stop paying for it. Bring it in. Use your own water. And then you've got raving fans of customers going, you need to go here because they got these clear blocks of ice and the cocktails were magnificent.
Everything was amazing. I mean, the alternative is basically having a crappy old car that has a great sound system. Essentially, that's basically what you're doing.
You're now talking about my first car in high school, man. That's, you know, it sounded good coming down the road.
But that's essentially it. So like one time we had a $45 drink as a test. And the reason why price point is we use a high end spirit, but we also wanted, like, how do people take the bite on that? Right. Like I understand it's made with, you know, the Elmer T. Lee or whatever, you know, something really, really expensive that costs like $35 a shot already. But how do you take someone to take a bite on a cocktail that's $40? Right. And that's when, back in 2016, I had these boxes like this, and essentially I would put the cocktail inside and there would be a little place card in there as well that would explain what the cocktail was. And this would actually go inside of a smoke chamber, a handmade, homemade smoke chamber. And we would fill it with smoke also. And so when we went to deliver it, the latch broke on this one, but basically the customer would flip it and open, smoke would come up, envelop, and they would have a card that smelled like it, like the smoke. And it gave explanation. It was like their card to take home and how to make this drink at home. Right. And so that whole thing was like, we sold one of those. It took a few hours to sell one because we had it up on the board. I remember my director at the time was like, why is there a $45 drink on the backboard by the happy hour menu? And I was like, it's just a test. We'll see. Because I was the director of beverage there. But I was like, let's just see how it works out. So we sold one and that person loved it. And then two people sat next to her and she's like, guys, you guys got to get this drink. And we sold one, sold another one. And then it just kind of just kept going. We sold a ton of them that night. And I was like, okay, that just proves it again. Like the experience matters. It matters 100%. But yeah, to answer your question, like what else is coming, what they know about me, like I like to create things, right? So I like making life easy for the bar world. I like bringing aesthetics high. So you can be sure that Ghost Ice and the Ice Designer aren't going to be my only companies that I have out there. I have things planned probably for release next year that revolve around the bitters world, that isn't necessarily making bitters. But I mean, that's pretty much all I can say right now about it, just because it's still very much in the building phase. But my goal is to bring ease and experience and aesthetics super high, right? So I do plan on having another company launch next year that will focus on like that niche of the cocktail world. But yeah, so you can expect a lot of things, but that's the most closest thing that I'm going to be working on, like coming up soon.
Look for our next time meeting with Tony Gonzalez when we talk Bitters Aesthetics Show. I'm thinking there's so many questions. We almost need like another segment to just talk mixology components, the show of creating and producing cocktails. In one aspect, I'm thinking, man, I am so disappointed. I did not get to be a customer where you are in front of me, just giving me that wonderful experience. But the good thing is there are people that have been trained by you that have had experience of working with you that are taking those skills and being able to share those with future customers.
Very true.
Tony, how do people find the Ghost Systems website. What's the website address?
For Ghost Ice, it's, you know, www.ghosticesystem.com.
And you have an Instagram or a Facebook presence? I do.
So, yeah, so you can find me. I run all the socials for all the companies. So you can find me at Living to the Brim, right? That's the handle. So think of like living life to the fullest, to the top of a glass, right? So that's Living to the Brim. Ghost Ice System is also, so it is just, it's singular. So there's no S at the end for Ghost Ice System. And then also the Ice Designer, I run that social media as well. So I run all of them for myself. For the companies. So, yeah.
These are places you definitely want to follow because you're going to want to see what comes out of the creative mind of Tony Gonzalez next. You can bring that to your customers, to your friends, and just enjoy life, living to the brim. I love it.
Yeah, that's me.
Tony, I'm grateful for your time today. Thanks for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. And there's another segment coming. We can't wait to see it. Tales next year. And I just wish I had one of your cocktails. Did you win the contest? That's what I want to know.
So it was a 3-day contest. I came in second place, but I actually liked my prize better. So the first prize was actually a trip to Tales of the Cocktail. But it was right at the time of my daughter, my oldest daughter being born. So it actually wouldn't have worked out that well for me. But second place, I think I got a 2-night stay at the Ritz-Carlton in downtown LA and a $6,000 voucher to their high-end bar there.
Wow.
Their restaurant. It was like their fine dining restaurant. So I was like, heck yeah. Like I lived in downtown at the time. So I'm like, I can walk here. Like my wife, like we have someone, watch the kid. We will go there. And so to me, that was it was the better prize for me because we went and it was just my wife and I, and we had a big table to ourselves, like big corner table. And it was packed. You know, we ordered whatever we wanted, whatever, it didn't matter. And then we left the rest for the server. So I think we left the server like $1,000 that night.
Wow. Holy
because we
cow.
Couldn't eat it all. Like there was no way we could eat $6,000 worth of food.
It's a lot of doggy bags.
That was, we were staying at the hotel. Like, what are you going to do? But
so yeah. I love the way that story worked out and just, life is an experience. It really is. And that's what you collect along the way. Cocktail napkins or cocktail coasters and just experiences of what you get to enjoy and try. And this is one of them for me, the experience of meeting with another, you know, fellow traveler on this world, making these, coming up with these, discovering these great ideas and then bringing them to people. That's just what life's all about.
Yeah. Agreed.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Rich.